So, first of all, I would like to thank the organizer. So it seems that it is quite complicated. They are the organizer of the workshop, first, and the organizer of the program who invited me. So I would like to thank both of them. So, and I will speak on the fundamental lemma for unitary groups. So as you know, in this room, the fundamental lemma is a series of conjectural combinatorial identities, which were discovered by Langlands, I think, and were precisely formulated by Langlands and Schoenstatt. For the moment, I have restricted myself to the unitary group case, the geometry of which is simpler because the geometry of the unitary group case is related to the geometry of the full linear groups. So, and also I am working in equal characteristic. Because for the geometric method it's much more it's easier, but probably it does not matter from most probably it does not matter for the application to the fundamental group, because maybe there is a way to go from the equal characteristic case to the unequal characteristic case. So I will start with the statement of the fundamental lemma. So it's a particular case, but it's almost the general case in the unitary group, for the unitary group. So, and I will work with Lie algebra. It's also there is a reduction from gr to the for the statement for the group to the Lie algebra statement. So this is really the key statement. So the first things I would like to fix is a local field, non-Archimedean local field of unequal characteristics. So I will need also a quadratic extension, which is an unramified. So that will be needed for the unitary group. And now I will fix at the same time the endoscopic group, the element, the maximal torus contained in the element. So I fix everything at the same time. So I will have, as part of the data, a finite family of separable and for simplicity in totally ramified extension of F of finite degree. So, and I have also the element now. So I have a family of element gamma I in the field which is obtained by composing F prime and EI, which have the following properties. So first of all, the valuation of gamma I is strictly positive. The second property is gamma I generates E prime I over F prime. So that means that E prime I is equal to F prime X divided by some minimal polynomial of gamma I, which is a polynomial, irreducible unitary polynomials in one variable over F prime. And I would like to have some element which is in fact in the Lie algebra of some unitary group. So this will be the condition that if I conjugate gamma I get minus gamma I, where star is a non-trivial element in the Galois group of E prime I over EI, and this Galois group is equal to the Galois group of F prime over F, and this is equal to the Galois group of FQ square over FQ. So, and I would like to have an element gamma, which will be the collection of the gamma I, which is regular. So I am assuming that so the regularity condition that the minimal polynomials are distinct to, 2 by 2 distinct. So now, from this data, it's easy to construct a group, unitary group. So what I need is a vector space, so EI, which is a direct sum of the extension. Inside, I have an element gamma I, which is a collection of the gamma, the gamma small I. I have a degree, so I need a notation for the degree. So Ni is the degree of E prime I over F prime, and Ni is the dimension over F prime of E prime I. So now I need an Hermitian form, so I will normalize it in a rather natural way from the point of view of the geometry. So for that I will fix an element in FQ square star, which has the property that its image by this involution is minus epsilon. And then I introduce this scalar, which is epsilon ni minus 1. And then the derivative of the pi, so pi is the product of the small p, of the p small I. So I introduce this number. So this is something which that you can find in Serre's book, local field. So this is an expression you can find there, which is a natural computation of a different. So and now I have my Hermitian form, which is the trace of E prime I over F prime of alpha I X star Y. So and for this form, gamma I is anti-Hermitian. So the fundamental lemma has to do with orbital integrals for the characteristic function of the maximal compact subgroup, and those orbital integrals are computing number of lattices. So I will introduce the lattices. So the set of lattices. So Xi will be the set of OF prime lattices. M in E prime I, which have the property that they are stable on by multiplication by gamma I. So and this set has two actions. So there is an action of lattice, so which is Z to the power I. That I will identify with denote like this, where this is a collection of uniformized EI, sorry. So pi EI is uniformizer of the extension EI, or equivalently and automatically it is also a uniformizer of E prime I. So and this act by simply homotacy on lattices. So we have this action. Lambda dot M is equal to pi AI minus lambda M. And I have also, so this is the first structure that I have on this set. I have also an involution, where the orthogonal of M is a set of elements which are orthogonal in the lattice sense to M. So this is defined in this way. And this is an involution on this set of lattices because my element is anti-Hermitian. So I recall that I have this equality. So now it's with this notation, it's easy to form to state at least the fundamental lemma. So I will consider the quotient space, the quotient set of this set of lattices by the action of lambda I. And I will consider the fixed point set inside the I, so which is by definition the set of lattices which are stable under multiplication by gamma I, which have the property that there exists lambda m such that when you do the orthogonal of m, you get something which is proportional to m. So, and then you divide it by lambda I. So I am looking at the set of orbits which are stable under the involution given by the orthogonality. So, and so there's a few remarks that you can do there. So first of all, lambda m, which exists by hypothesis, is automatically in a sublattice of lambda I, which is a set of lambda, so that the sum of the components is zero. Some augmentation, the kernel of some augmentation of lambda I. And moreover, if you look at the class of lambda m modulo 2 times this sublattice, so which is an element in lambda I 0 divided by 2 lambda I 0. So this is well defined. That means it does not depend on the representative of the orbit. So then that means that there is a well defined map from the fixed point set into this finite groups, abelian groups, which is isomorphic to Z divided by 2Z to some power, the number of elements in I minus 1. So now what are all the subjects? Orbital integral, kappa orbital integral, stable orbital integral. So we'd like to consider. So if you fix lambda bar inside this quotient, this small finite group, then there is a corresponding orbital integral, which is the number of fixed points, the number of fixed orbits, which have the property that, so this map is z goes to lambda bar z, so which have the property that lambda bar z is equal to lambda bar. So now if we can, so that's the orbital integral. So we can take a linear combination of such orbital integral, and we get what Langlands has called kappa integral, kappa orbital integral. So kappa is a character of this finite group, any character for the moment, and associated to this kappa, there is the linear combination, the obvious one. Oh, all lambda bar I. And this is what is called usually the kappa and orbital integrals. And in the particular case where kappa equal 1, the trivial character, so then we have the stable orbital integral, which is O at 1. So a trivial remark is that to give you a kappa is the same than to give you a partition of I in two parts. So you decide where are the plus, where are the minus. So, and another trivial remark is in all what, so I have explained things for a given set I, obviously I can replace everywhere this set by a subset by any J containing I. And you get the same notation, for example, this one. So and now the particular case of the conjecture of Langlands and Schellstadt that I have in mind, the following conjecture. Which says that for any kappa corresponding to a partition, then we simply have the orbital integral, the kappa orbital integral, is equal to some power of q times the stable orbital integral for I1 times the stable orbital integral for I2. And the power, the integral power of q which is occurring here, so this number is the valuation of the resultant of pi1 x and pi2 x. So that's the thing we would like to be able to prove. And for that, it's quite natural to do some geometry. So and to introduce some kind of variant of this set of lattices, which are algebraic variety. So people, I'm sure some people are complaining because there is no sign, no transfer factor, but I think it's correct. The normalization of the form is quite important. But I think this is related to this paper by Kotwitz where he's explaining that you can normalize the transfer factor to one. That's some, So in the second, I will work geometrically, so I will change my notation because otherwise it will be too heavy. So I will replace fq or fq square by k, algebraically closed. It can be fp bar, it can be the complex number, it can be any field, I mean it does not matter anymore. And I will in some sense forget completely the fundamental lemma. Work geometrically, so then everything will be with GLN, and then the fundamental lemma will be back at the end in some sense, so I will explain that now. So then I will change my notation, so now K will be, I think it's clear what I will do. There is no prime anymore, so E is K. So EI. Well, you have fixed uniformizer, so this is the totally ramified extension of F and so on. And I have the corresponding ring of integers, so f. So the affine Springer fiber, so this is the same definition as the set of lattices, so, but I change slightly the writing. So this is, as before, the set of lattices in EI, which are fixed by gamma I, stable by gamma I, but which is, this is viewed as an N scheme over K. So it is so this set in fact is not connected, so but it's easy to see what are the connected components. And what makes them non-connected is the index of this lattice with a fixed one. So, and the fixed one, which is a natural one for me, is AI, which is OF gamma I. So this is contained in OEI, this is contained in EI, but in general it is not equal. So, and I will cut this N scheme in component, so by considering the degree with respect, the index with respect to this fixed lattice is equal to D. So you may remark that this point is in fact a fixed point set. Is a fixed point for the involution by the orthogonal, the normalization of the, if I am in the arithmetic situation, the normalization of the form is such that this one is fixed by the involution. So, and as before, there is an action of the group lambda I acts on xi by homotacy. So the first result on the Springer fiber is due to Kasdan and Lustig. So they prove that in fact the N scheme that we have is in fact a scheme, a regular scheme, I mean something, which is not that big. So theorem, Kasdan and Lustig. So xi is a scheme, finite dimensional scheme, which is locally of finite type, not of finite type, but locally of finite type over K. And those components are connected. And the quotient by the action of this subgroup, so there is a, you have to be a little bit, I mean there are several choices, but I am considering only the quotient by this subgroup. So this is a disjoint union over the same index set of projective varieties. I will give an example. Two examples in 1 minute. And moreover, the map, the quotient map, is a étal Galois covering of Galois group. In fact, it is almost Zariski Galois covering, almost. Sorry? Yes, it looks like chain, I will say that now. It's like a chain. So I will give examples. So I want to mention another result by... Sorry? No, sorry, yes, it's a mistake. Misprint. So the second result, which is also important, is the theorem of Bezrukhavnikov. Which gives the dimension. Okay, I mentioned Bezrukhavnikov. In this case, it was known from a long time that the dimension is given by this formula, but Bezrukhavnikov has given a general formula for any group. So the dimension of each connected component, or the dimension of the quotient, is the invariant delta, which is the dimension of the quotient between these two lattices or these two rings. So which is a fundamental invariant in singularity theory. And this is already an indication that there is something related to singularity theory. So examples. I will give two very easy and simple examples. So the first example is, I assume that I has only one element, so that E is given by extracting an nth root of F, and that gamma, so there is only one I, so I don't mention the index, and that gamma is some power of the uniformizer pi e, where n and v are relatively prime positive integers. So then it has a very easy, simple description. That does not mean that the variety is easy to understand, but the description is very simple. So in this case, we have, so I will just write what it is and explain. Okay, so V as dimension is a vector space over K of dimension 2D, 2 delta, which is equal to N minus 1, V minus 1, in this case. So an N is a regular nilpotent endomorphism of V. So, and you are looking at a subscheme of the Grassmannian variety of delta plane inside a 2D, 2 delta dimensional vector space, which are fixed by some, like a Springer fiber, by some nilpotent element, stable by some nilpotent element, but in fact you consider not only one nilpotent element, but two. So that's a nice projective variety, very, very highly singular, and in fact quite complicated combinatorially. But at least it has a simple definition. And the second example is a chain, like Ito was mentioning. So I take, so the simplest case, so I take I with two elements, E, 1 equal E2 equal F, and gamma 1 equal pi F, gamma 2 equal minus pi F. And then, this is a chain, I will make a picture, this is a chain of projective lines. So you get a picture like this. So it goes at infinity in both directions. So you take a projective line and you identify the point at infinity here with the zero here, there, and so on. And so you have an action of z, which is lambda I zero by translation, and the quotient is a P1 with a double point, a cubic with an ordinary double point, plane cubic with an ordinary double point. So about the Springer fibers, the Affine Springer fibers, the last thing I would like to mention is a very important conjecture by due to Goreski, Kotwitz and MacPherson, which says that the cohomology of the affine Springer fiber is pure in some way. So I have to explain that. So this conjecture plays an important role. So if you take the Eladic cohomology of, let's say, the zero components, they're all isomorphic, so I can take one, for example, in degree I, this is pure of weight I, in the sense of Dolin, that means, or the Rotondick, I mean, the Frobenius, if you have a Frobenius, it is acting with eigenvalue which are all pure of weight I. The absolute value is Q to the I over 2. So maybe I will call this M because I have so many I. So this conjecture has been proved in very few cases. So let's say that we are in the homogeneous case. If we have all the EI are all equal to the same extension, totally ramified extension of F, and if the PI, the minimal polynomial, are quite special, they can be written like this. EF power V. So this is for all I. So this is the so-called homogeneous case. So if I has one element, so the homogeneous case means simply that the minimal polynomial has a very specific form. So if you have several elements, you want equal valuation. So then in this case, the conjecture is known. So the case I equal 1 is due to Lustig and Smelt. The general case is due to Walsberger. And there is another proof by the team Goreski, Kotwitz and MacPherson, which is a little bit simpler. So in some sense, those authors, they prove more. They prove that the affine Springer fiber is really paved by standard affine spaces. But this is not needed for the purity, not required for the purity. I listened a lecture by Kotwitz, which was, no, but in any case, it is proved by, now they paved the variety by quasi-projective varieties, which are essentially vector bundles over smooth projective varieties. Then you have the purity as well. It is more, I mean, if you work over FQ square, not over FQ, it's equivalent to saying that the number of points is a more or less equivalent to the fact that the number of points is a polynomial in Q or something. I insist. No, it's a combinatorial. It's really a combinatorial problem. So, what is the relation with the fundamental lemma? Let's call it FL for simplicity. So. I start with a partition like this, and on xi I have an extra action I have not considered before. It's an action of the multiplicative group, which corresponds to the fact that an ei, which is a direct sum of ei1, ei2, I have an action of k star by simply letting t dot x1 plus x2 equal tx1 plus x2. It's only act on one component, for example, the first one. And that's an easy exercise. The fixed point set for this action is simply a lattice is fixed by such an action if and only if it is the sum of two lattices. Not a difficult. And so that means a fixed point set is equal to the product in the set of lattices, which can be written as a sum, direct sum of two lattices. And so here you have the fixed point set. So we can do the same thing after taking the quotient by the lattice lambda I. So we get that we have an action of gm of the multiplicative group over the quotient. So for example, the degree zero component, and we get similarly a description of this type. So now let us fix prime number L as before, I mean, and consider the Galois covering. So the Galois group is lambda I zero, so which admit as a quotient lambda I zero divided by two lambda I zero, and we have a corresponding character to our partition. We have a corresponding kappa, so with value in plus or minus one, that we can embed in QL star. So the data of a Galois covering plus a character of the fundamental group give us, this gives us a local system, QL local system of rank one, on the base. So here what we do is we take the trivial local system on that, but we change the gluing at the point. We don't glue by plus one, we glue by minus one. Why not? So, and it's easy to see that the restriction of this local system so L restricted to the fixed point set, that's trivial. So it's a constant local system. That's because it is given by a gluing on this fixed point set. It's not canonically trivial, but it is trivial. So on the theorem, I hope that I have been able to prove, is the following one. So let's assume the purity, this conjecture, let's assume the conjecture, assume the purity in this cohomological sense of the affine Springer fiber. Xj for all possible j containing I. Then there exists a canonical isomorphism canonical, that means compatible with any twisted Frobenius you can put on the situation, twisted Galois action that you can put. It is canonical. Between the following cohomology groups. So, and there is, if we want to take into account the action of Frobenius at tape twist and the cohomology of ZI0 with coefficient in L. So, and it, so there is an exercise. You can try to do this one. So you have with a non-trivial local system on this, you can really prove that the cohomology of that is equal to. So that's an easy exercise of algebraic geometry. And so obviously if we have this theorem and if the isomorphism is canonical enough, then it will be compatible to with any twisted Frobenius. So applying the Grothendieck-Lepschetz-Fresse formula, we will be able to recover the fundamental lemma. So as a corollary of that is assuming the purity conjecture, we have the fundamental lemma in the form I have stated, at least. So I would like to mention that in few minutes. I would like first to mention that this theorem has been proved in a particular case by Goreski, Kotwitz and McPherson, and it was proved first. I am using a part of their ideas. So Goreski, Kotwitz and McPherson proved the case where all the extension EI are trivial. So let me now go to some algebraic geometry, which is not so recent, but which has been developed by people like Altman and Kleiman, before Regaud and maybe Seychadri and so on. I would like to speak about with compactified Jacobians. And this is really where my method differ from the one of Goreski, Kotwitz and McPherson. So the method, this is exactly the same thing up to a certain point, and at some point I really change completely the proof. So this is where I am introducing the compactified Jacobian. So the only remark in some sense that I have made, in some sense it's a trivial remark but it's a very important one, is that if you look at what is a lattice, a point in the affine Springer fiber, then you will see that it is equivalent to give you a module over AI. So to be stable by gamma I is the same than to be a module over this ring. That's a triviality, which is without torsion of rank 1, and which is rigidified in the sense that when you tensor with the fraction field, so EI is the fraction field of AI, you have a trivialization. So then this is more or less the definition of a compactified Jacobian, except that it is a local object. So now we have to go to a global situation. That means to replace the local ring AI by a complete curve. But that's not so difficult to do it. So there is a lemma. There exists a phi in integral projective curve over K such that phi is smooth outside a given closed point, small phi in phi. Second property is that if you take the completed local ring of this curve at this non-smooth point, you get exactly AI. And the last property is that there is no really global things inside this curve. The normalization of C is a projective line. So there exists such a curve, not a plane curve in general, but there exists a curve like that. And for such a curve, we can consider the global analog of this local moduli problem, the compactified Jacobian. The set of M module. A coherent, coherent OC module which are torsion free and of generic rank 1. And so there is a relation between the two, so maybe I will not explain too much about that, but essentially what you can do is you have your curve which is with a singular point. So here you have AI. So starting from a local object, a lattice, you can take this lattice and glue it with the trivial line bundle outside the point. And it is possible because your lattice is rigidified. As a lattice, it is rigidified over the fraction field of AI. So that means it is rigidified outside the point. So you can glue M with the trivial line bundle. And so that gives you a map, an algebraic map, from XI to P. So this is the compactified Jacobian of Altman and Kleiman. So there is a map like this. And this map, it is not difficult to see that it goes through the quotient by the lattice. So there is a, in some sense, to give you a point here is to give you a point there plus a trivialization of the line bundle outside the point. So this is more or less a Galois covering with the same Galois group as before. And for this reason, this goes through the quotient map. And this map is not an isomorphism, but it is bijective. And in fact, it is an homeomorphism in the sense of algebraic geometry. So counting the point on the Springer fiber is the same than counting the point on the compactified Jacobian, but the geometry is slightly different. So, and this map is not an isomorphism. So, for example, in the simplest case, in some sense, except the chain of P1, so in this in the very simple case, they are not isomorphic. So if you take I equal 1, E equal F pi E, you take a square root, a degree 2 extension, and you take gamma, the third power of the uniformizer, then you get this is P1, and the compactified Jacobian is not P1, but it is a P1 with a cusp. So it's a plane cubic with an ordinary cusp. So on the map, between the two is a normalization map. So it's not an isomorphism, but it is bijective. So counting the point on the P1 or on the P1 with the cusp, we don't see any difference. And the cohomology of the two are the same. So why to introduce this compactified Jacobian? So you have really a major advantage, is that you can deform the situation. You cannot deform P1 in something which will be, for example, a P1 with an ordinary quadratic point. But you can deform a P1 with a cusp into a P1 with an ordinary quadratic point. So you cannot deform this situation to this, but so this does not exist, but there exists a deformation like this. So that you see easily when you study elliptic curves. So there is really a deformation of this kind. There is no deformation of this kind. So you have really a major advantage once you use the fact that your Springer fiber is essentially a compactified Jacobian. And counting the point, studying the cohomology, that does not change anything if you take the compactified Jacobian or the Springer fiber. And so I would like to speak about now deformations. So, and the main idea is the following. You have a singularity with, I am drawing in some sense the spectrum of AI. So AI, you have to realize that it is simply OF. You add X and you divide by PI, but PI is a product of two polynomials. And what is OF of X? This is K, where you add the uniformizer by F, and when you add X. So you are in the plane with two coordinates, X and pi F. And you have an equation which defines a plane curve. And this equation has many branches which correspond to, so the set of branches is I. And now you have cut this set of branches in two subsets. So let's see, this is I1 and this is I2. And what you can do is move one packet of branch with respect to the other, translate. That means you can replace in one of those x by x minus t, where t is the parameter. So, and when you do that, so I have no time to give details, but I can make a picture. So I will take a very simple example. So you take, this is too complicated to make the picture, but I will take two branches. I will take one branch which is a cusp like this, and one branch which is a line. So what you can do is move the line with respect to the cusp. And what's happened is that when you do that, you keep your, those are not modified separately. But the intersection of those two is modified. So that means you have replaced something which is a mess by something which is a set of double points. So you are creating double points. And how many double points are you creating? This specific number. So you have replaced. So this is a special fiber, and this is a generic fiber. So you have replaced your complicated things by something which is slightly simpler. I mean, you have separately your packet of branches, you have your two packets, plus the number of double points. So this corresponds to the kappa orbital integral. This corresponds to the number of double points times the stable orbital integral for I1 times the stable orbital integral for I2. So in some sense, the fundamental lemma is encoded in this picture. So and if you take my cohomological statement, once you have created a geometric deformation, so what you can do is take the compactified Jacobian of the deformation. So this exists, the theory of relative compactified Jacobian is a very good theory of Altman and Kleiman. You can use it, so you have really a family of compactified Jacobians. And when you take the cohomology of the family, you get a family of cohomology space. The special fiber is correspond to one side of my theorem, and the other, the cohomology of the generic fiber corresponds to the other side. So you deform the curve globally. I mean, you have to do some, so it's not difficult, but it's a little bit technical. You deform the curve globally. So you in some sense, close the picture like this. So you have a curve with a generic fiber and a special fiber. So you take the compactified Jacobian of the relative compactified Jacobian, so you get a deformation like this. So that's one step, second step, and the last step, you take the cohomology. And you get a family. So, and by, in some sense, it's you have nothing to do, you get a map, a specialization map between the two cohomology groups. So you will write it simply by deforming. So at least, as soon as you can deform, you get a map. You get it almost for free. This is not... So you have your local system, which depends on the, maybe I should insist that it depends on the splitting of I in two parts. And you get a map. You have to compute the cohomology of the compactified Jacobian of that and the cohomology. But what you get is exactly what I was writing before. So this you have to trust me. You get exactly that. So this is the cohomology of the special fiber, this is the cohomology of the general fiber. So for free, as soon as you have a deformation, you have a map. Obviously, it's impossible to deform the Springer fiber, but the compactified Jacobian, you don't have any trouble. So now, it's not the end of the story, unfortunately, because this map is not canonical, and I don't see any way to prove directly that this map is an isomorphism. So, this is where you need a six-part equivariant homology. So, and this is where you really need the purity conjecture. I mean, to be able to prove that this map is canonical and is an isomorphism, you have to do it by equivariant homology. And so this I can explain quickly. So the reason is the following one, that you are able to do that when you are using equivariant homology, and this is an ID of Goreski, Kotwitz, and McPherson. When you are in equivariant cohomology or homology, it doesn't matter. You can use the action, the GM action. So equivariant homology means with respect to the GM action. And in some sense, if you have purity of the cohomology, ordinary cohomology, you know that you can see the equivariant homology of the whole set or cohomology of the whole set inside the homology or cohomology of the fixed point set. That means you can reduce your problem, which is a complicated problem on a variety, to the fixed point set. You have a localization principle. And if you check carefully in the deformation I am considering, the fixed point set by GM is not moving at all. It's constant. So at least you have a way to compare. So you have a way to compare. So what you do is you take the equivariant homology, which is slightly more convenient than the cohomology. So, and so you will write the diagram. So you have to work with not the quotient Zi, but with the full Springer fiber. So I will simplify my notation a little bit. So I have the equivariant homology. So you have a restriction map to the fixed point set. And you have that for the special and the general fiber. So you have a similar, so that's a special, let's say. So that means you do that with the compactified Jacobian, sorry. And you have the same thing with the general fiber. So, and you have a specialization map which is in the opposite direction, so it goes like this, hopefully. So you have a commutative diagram like this. So the purity tells you that those maps are surjective. So that comes from the purity conjecture. And moreover, the purity conjecture tells you that it's enough to prove the statement, the theorem in equivariant homology. So then you have two surjective maps, and this you know that this is an isomorphism because the fixed point set you can check in my family. It is constant. So you have a way to compare. So what you need to compare is the kernel of this one with the kernel of this one. So the kernel of this map is what you are looking for. The kernel of this map is the answer. So you have a kernel like this and a kernel like this. And so this is contained, hopefully, in this like this. So in some sense, because you have a deformation, you have for free an inclusion like that. And your goal is to prove that these two things are equal. Then you just have to measure the length of the quotient. And this is the last part of the argument. By, in some sense, doing a Euler characteristic computation, which is very similar to what Harishchandra did to prove the descent of orbital integral for a group to a Levy. I mean, you have this descent formula from a group to a Levy. So there is an analogous formula in terms of Euler Poincaré characteristics, which was already, for example, in our paper with Mikey. You do this computation, and then you get that, in fact, the length of the quotient is zero, so you get that they're isomorphic. So there are two steps. So first of all, a deformation in equivariant cohomology. The purity tells you that those maps are surjective. And then an Euler Poincaré computation tells you that those two things are equal. And this is exactly what you want when you try to compute what they are. You get exactly what you want. So, sorry, I took 5 minutes more of my time.